How are we getting on? Welcome to episode 29 of the Alcohol Uncensored podcast. Nearly into the threes, Kelly.
I know.
Racking up.
We aren't half.
Yes, so here we are again. We are really enjoying talking about the benefits of life when you decide to stop drinking and focus on the positives, not dwell on the negatives. And today we are only us two, Kelly, aren't we?
Nobody wants to talk to us this week.
No, we drew a blank, didn't we? We drew a blank this week. Yeah. Well, drew a blank slash we've been a bit busy, haven't we? Let's be honest. You've been away. We had Beaver Castle race series last weekend. Let's cut ourselves some slack and let's accept that, you know.
And the good news is we've got a couple of good guests coming up, so
we have, haven't we? Yeah, some crackers coming up. So what we thought we'd do is just have a bit of a chat today about something that we probably could have done a while ago, and I think now is a really good time to start getting something on the agenda. But before we do that, let me just go to my co-host with the co-most and ask her how she's getting on. How are you getting on, Kelly?
I'm good, yeah. I'm exhausted this week, to be honest with you. I don't know about you, but it's been a week of... One, trying to get used to being back home because I was away for a few weeks, and just exhausted from the weekend as well. So I'm really glad it's Friday. It's Friday and obviously being recording. I'm so glad it's Friday to have a couple of days off.
Yeah, really good.
What about you?
Yeah, exactly the same. Exactly the same. It's probably slightly different in the, for me, obviously you were travelling quite a lot before you even hit Beaver Castle, so you were knackered when you got there, and you were certainly knackered when you left. So, no, it's little wonder you've had, you know, it's took you a week to recover. It's took me a week as well. I'm still knackered now. I've had a sort of rough middle of the week, which I won't go into great detail on, but I had to attend a funeral of a somebody who died far too young over in Belfast. On Wednesday, so I flew out there Wednesday morning, came back early yesterday morning. And that was a tough experience.
Yeah,
I'm so glad I went to lend my support because it was a really tragic circumstances. But personally, it's not me sideways as well. But so I'm sure I'm going to recover from now quickly. Yeah. But it's been a tough week. But
And how does it look dealing with what you've had to deal with this week compared to what it was doing like when you were drinking?
Good question. I think I found it quite tricky. I'm not going to go into the big ins and outs of it, but it was a really sort of emotional, you know, so some funerals, you know, people, they've had a good innings, haven't they? And this was far from that.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one for everyone to deal with. But, you know, I suppose, but actually there was no drinking at the wake, which I thought was interesting. And so they did, you know, there wasn't a traditional situation where everyone's at the bar hitting it. It was not like that at all. It was very much like teas and coffees and so that was good. And I found it tough, and would I have found it any easier had I been drinking? Definitely not. I think my emotions were on a, you know, I was quite emotional even, you know, the way it was, and I think had I been drinking, I'd have been an absolute mess. It's done.
Do you know, it's good that, asking that question as well, it's good that you can see that, because there's this kind of perception that, like, if you have a drink, it kind of helps you get through these things. And I think in the early days, even when you're in the very early days, when you're kind of contemplating taking a break from alcohol, you think, how do we able to cope with these situations? And you think that that's the thing that helps you cope, but it's not until you're that far away from it that you realise, actually, I cope so much better without it. But you do need that space away, don't you, to realise and believe in yourself that you can cope with these feelings without alcohol?
100%. I mean, I said that, I remember I mentioning on a previous podcast how a couple of years ago I was asked to give a speech at a good friend's 70th birthday party. And I had to stand up in front of hundreds of people and, you know, deliver a speech to, you know, an eclectic mix of people. And I was really nervous about it. But I did it. Obviously, I was sober. And, you know, I wouldn't have had the confidence to do that.
Yeah.
when I was drinking. You know, I would have been, no, you're okay, ask somebody else. But I could rely upon myself. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was nervous, but I could
Yeah.
rely upon myself, and I was better prepared for it than I would have been had I been drinking. So Dutch courage is an absolute nonsense, really.
Is this is the thing, the perception as well is that alcohol gives you confidence to do all this stuff, and it could
Yeah.
be further from the truth. Like you
Yeah.
say, you wouldn't have been able to do it. You wouldn't have the confidence or the nerves to be able to handle it, but you could because you were sober.
No, absolutely. So yeah, like you, I'm looking forward to a steady weekend this weekend. Although
Yeah.
I forgot I'd applied for a coastal run on the beach on
Oh, you
Sunday.
haven't, Ian.
Yeah, well, I've paid for it, so I've got to do it. Yeah.
Oh, you're a glutton for punishment, I tell you.
No.
Oh,
I
God.
know.
I was going to say a
But
machine, but I think maybe you're just mental.
just nutter, I think. Yeah, nutter's better. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, I think what we said we would do today, and I think this is going to sort of be something we can build on going forward, Kelly, is we would get back to basics in terms of, you know, I'm conscious that you and I, when we have these conversations every week, and when we bring on guests, typically those guests, be they authors or be they experts or be they members of the community, they've always got a few, at least 12 months of not drinking under the belt. And it would be lovely to bring somebody on here who you know, just decided to stop drinking, but that's not really practical because you're kind of asking somebody to really sort of, you know, do it. So that's not going to happen. But I thought what we could do is you and I could sort of build it up for people who are listening to these podcasts, but are at that contemplation stage, you know, so that they are sober curious, as the term might say, but are still drinking. And you know, just the, by surely by searching for and listening to these podcasts, and I hope there are people out there who are listening to this who aren't in the community, and you know, are just contemplating not drinking and what it might mean for their life. But aim it at those people and try and just, you know, sort of use our memories, if you like, and just to sort of think about, you know, what it was like for us, and just some of the advice that we got from, you know, communities like OTI, and some of the tricks that we were given back in the day. Share those with people. And, you know, now and again, when we haven't got a guest, or, you know, we want to drop another one of these in, we'll build it up. And the next time we'll talk about what it's like when you have just, you know, took that leap and you are now, you know, at the very early stages of not drinking. But I thought for today, let's call it the contemplation stage. And let's talk about, you know, what our memories like, what help and tips we can give to people. So, what do you reckon of that?
Sounds good. Sounds good. Can't be a good
Yeah.
planning.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, can you remember sort of, because obviously, you know, your story, my story, very different, and you know, and you can probably remember your sort of blips clearer than I can remember mine. But can you remember that first time when you first, you know, decided you were contemplating stopping drinking, and you know, when you first found OTI, for example, what can you remember those early days? What sort of where you were at, if you know what I mean, and how you felt?
Yeah, I can, you know, and I think the first time I kind of when I look back, the first time I started thinking, oh God, this is just not serving me anymore. I'm fed up feeling rubbish. And at this stage, my drinking wasn't anything different to anyone else's, really. And that would have been 2014, where I was just like fed up with feeling hungover, fed up with not having energy. Just those simple things that we take for granted these days. Like, I remember it very clear. I wasn't a massive drinker until about, I think, 2012, something like that. But without getting into the story, 2014, I remember, was when I was thinking, I'm fed up with feeling like this. But there was nothing in me that was like, right, I'm going. There was sober October and dry January, but there was nobody around me. There was absolutely no part of me that thought, I'm going to remove alcohol for good. Like, it was about kind of resetting and getting a month of being healthy during October, sober October or dry January. I must admit, there was nothing round about me that was like, maybe you could have a life without alcohol and it would be enjoyable. There was nothing like that. What about you?
Yeah, I think it was you're right. I mean, what would it have been for me? Well, I suppose, you know, like I've said before, Yes, I stopped drinking in, you know, 6 years ago, and I haven't had a drink since. But before that, before I joined the community, I was forever saying to myself, right, that's it. I've had enough of this. I'm not drinking anymore. And I'd go on this sort of like, I'd devise some sort of plan in my head to say, right, you know, I ain't drinking for X. And it might be a week. It might be I'm going to go for a month. On one situation, I was determined because I'd really sort of like let myself go, if you know what I mean. And I was going to not drink forever. And on that occasion, I did go 3 months before I thought, ah, prove me point and off I go again, you know, and then things just built up and built up. So I never sort of, I never got anything off the ground, largely because I wasn't taking it serious enough. You know, I was just, it was just, I was always just berating myself for making a monkey of myself, or I was sick of feeling tired, sick of being anxious, but it just wore off. You know, that sort of punishment, if you like, I felt like, oh yeah, I punished myself enough. Or I don't know, I got to a Thursday or a Friday and I thought, you know, it's the weekend. I call the shots around here. I'm going to have a drink. And I'd forgotten how bad I was, you know. And this went on for years, Kelly. It went on for years. And, you know, it gets work got worse as I got older. And just, you know, and then the kids come along and you're thinking, what sort of example am I setting my kids? I don't want to be like this. And, yeah. And I'm sure your story and my story, there'll be people listening to this who are thinking, yeah, that's me. That's where I am now. You know, and because we all do it, we all did it, didn't we? We all tried to stop it under our own steam just to then forget a few days or weeks further down the line. And we were just going around this circular hell, weren't we?
And most people you talk to, it's a journey. There's that word journey. But I know when I'm doing my coaching, I start to talk to clients about the kind of pre-contemplation stage, which I would say was probably 2014, where I was kind of thinking, this is not doing me any good. This is kind of, I'm fed up with not having the energy, all those things I just spoke about. And then there was the kind of contemplation stage where I started thinking, do you know, I need to make change. How can I do this? And then you would start kind of Googling alcohol-free podcasts and started listening to kind of OTI. And then you've got the kind of preparation stage where you just start looking at kind of what can I do? What's going to help me? And obviously I'm talking at this in kind of coaching language and what I talk to my clients about, but that's the kind of, if you think about it yourself, can you see that pattern in terms of the pre-contemplation, contemplation, and then the kind of preparation and action joining the community, like to kind of put it simply.
Well, maybe the next one we talk about is the action stage, isn't it? It is. And it might not be you must join a community because that would sound like a hard sell, but it might be there's lots of other things that you can do as well, isn't there? So we can come on to all of that. But did you ever sort of write a list? I was great at making lists of all the sort of, you know, like the old-fashioned advantages and disadvantages type list of drinking. Did you ever do that?
I used to write pros and cons lists, and as you can imagine, the cons completely outweighed the pros. The problem was with me was that I was brilliant at writing lists when I was feeling absolutely awful. So I'd look at it and think, right, this has got to change. And I would sit and I'd write down the pros and the cons. But it took me a long time to realise that the list was far more useful before I had a drink and not after. So when I was having a wobble or my brain started to romanticise about alcohol, I could then go back to the list and ask myself, right, what's the real benefit here and what's the consequences? When actually what I really did in the beginning was write the list when I was feeling rubbish and then not look at it and then ultimately end up having a blip because I would forget what the consequences were. And then I would go back to the list and start writing the list down again. It took me a while to get to that stage. Is that something you used quite early on?
Do you know, I wish I could find it because I did keep it and I wrote this list down. And originally, there was actually for me, there was quite a few. I found at the time quite a lot of advantages for drinking. It was like, you know, and it was all the classics like helps me relax, you know, makes you know, makes me more sociable, makes me funny. You know, sort of, I enjoy the taste. Goes well with food, right? Oh God, what else is there? You know, all my friends drink, you know, Just you know, and I could, and then I wrote the negatives down, and the negatives were massive anxiety,
Yeah.
you know, weight gain, you know, health issues, you know, embarrassing sort of, you know, actions or whatever it might be. And then this went on and on. And there were more disadvantages than there were advantages, but I did have a load of advantages. But then I looked at those advantages and I scrutinized them and I thought, is that right? Is that right? So, right. So, does it help me relax? No, it doesn't, does it? Because it sort of actually makes me more anxious. Yeah. Yeah. Am I funnier? No, I just can't. I just don't care what crap things I'm saying, and I don't actually remember some of the bullshit that I come out with. It doesn't make me funnier. You know, does it? I can't. You know, does it help me relax? No, it doesn't make me more anxious. You know, the list goes on. You know, does it help? You know, pair with food. No, it doesn't, does it? Because it's another taste that you bring into the party when really water is probably arguably the best thing that's paired with food. You know, so I found myself questioning them all, and I drew a line through most of them, and I might have been left with one or two, but you know, yeah, I knew the game was up, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
It does, and this is the thing, it does take work. It takes work in the beginning, it really does, because it's like when you write down those perceived benefits, like it helps me de-stress, it helps me sleep better. You have actually got to pick at it and get really, really truthful. Actually, does it, or am I needing a drink to help me sleep because of the anxiety from the drink the day before? You have got to get really honest and unpick
Yeah.
it. But it is hard work at the start, but there's lots of tools and lots of things that you can do by just keeping it in the day and be patient and using all these little tips and tricks to get through. It really helps.
Yeah. And I think another thing that goes from that list is almost like another list that kind of sort of, you know, almost like journaling, if you like writing down your fears, you know. So write, be honest with yourself and say, what's stopping me, you know. In my case, it was the worry of what people might think if I don't drink. You know, it was the worry that I won't be able to go to drinks events again. You know, but then also, you know, I'm being honest with myself and saying, well, actually, what are some of the positives that are going to happen from this as well? And write all those down as well. You know, write down your fears about, you know, the health issues, the short-term health issues, you know, the anxiety, the sort of the difficulty sleeping because you're drinking, you know, but also the long-term health issues as well, you know, the you know, the potential increased risks of cancer, you know, the effect on memory, and you know, really get sort of quite granular with it. And I didn't do that, but I can see now that would have really helped me at the time.
I think a really useful exercise is to write down like a list of whys, a list of reasons that you want to change, and a list of reasons that you want to take a break or stop drinking. So one of the questions that I heard in the beginning that I thought was really powerful was, is alcohol taking more from your life than it's given? And generally, sorry, the answer to that's yes. Like if we get really honest with ourselves, especially if you're listening to this just now, and you're obviously sober curious or thinking about taking a break or fed up with the negatives of alcohol, the chances are that alcohol is taking more than it's given. And writing down a list, maybe it's like being more present with your kids, maybe it's progressing in your career, improving your health, running a marathon you've always talked about, or even just simply waking up feeling proud of yourself, not full of regret. I know for me, I'd sign up for races like half marathons, and I'd never do the training because drinking always got in the way, and I'd beat myself up afterwards. But I never stopped to think about alcohol was the thing that was stopping me doing it. I would think like, because I'm hungover, I'm not sticking to my exercise consistently, but I never actually looked at alcohol being the problem, if that makes sense. And especially in the beginning, your brain will do everything that it can to sell you the perceived benefits of drinking. That's what it does. And I think having that list down, that why list that you can look back over, is really powerful because it reminds you what the actual cost of you having that drink is to your life or your goals or your plans and just showing up for yourself.
Yeah. And I think it's good to visualize these things as well, isn't it? Start to actually, you might still be drinking, and you know, but start to visualize, actually, if I didn't drink, I could do this, I could do that. And almost start to imagine what it might look like if you do stop drinking, what you could potentially, do in terms of how your life would gradually start to improve. And just start to imagine it, start to visualize it. Because then when you do come to actually start stopping, you kind of know what you're aiming for, rather than just, oh, I'm sick of this, I'm sick of feeling crap, I'm going to stop. And it doesn't, it's got no substance, has it? Do you know what I mean? It's got no, it doesn't carry any weight, because you're doing it on impulse. Whereas if you know what you're aiming for, you've got a better chance of succeeding.
Look, nothing changes if nothing changes. You do need to make changes in your life. And it's like, it might seem like a lot of work, but how long have you been kind of giving yourself a hard time and saying to yourself, I want to stop and I want to change? That's hard work as well. So it does seem like a lot of hard work in the beginning, but it's just small changes, small consistent changes make a big difference. And I think quite a lot of the time people are like, oh, I want to get to a year, I want to get to 6 months, I want to run a marathon next week. It's about just taking the time and patience and thinking, okay, Rome wasn't built in a day. I can do this, but I just need, what am I going to do today
Yes.
to have a better day tomorrow?
Yeah. And we might get ahead of ourselves when we start talking about this, but can you remember some of what it was like, or some of the tough times in the early days of when you first did try and stop, at those times? Can you remember what was kind of what was difficult? Because it's important, I think, for people to know that it ain't going to be plain sailing. It isn't going to be a sudden case of, woo, I've stopped drinking, I'm great. It ain't going to be, is it? Because life's not like that. Especially if you've been drinking for, consistently for a long period of time, it ain't going to be easy. So can you remember some of the sort of difficulties that you faced in those early days?
Something I remember finding difficult in the beginning was FOMO, fear of missing out. I remember it especially well with my partner at the time. He was still drinking, and that's what we did together. It was either out to the pub, out for dinner, drinks at home. So when I decided to take a break or remove alcohol from my life, depending on where I was on that journey and what stage I was at, I found that really difficult. So he was still having drinks at the weekend because he didn't want to change. He was happy with how things were. And I had to really put things in place to keep myself busy. If I had just sat in the house, either watching him drink or wondering how much fun he was having, I would have drove myself crazy. And ultimately, I would have probably ended up having a drink. And probably, if I had to think back, there would have been many times that I did do that. I had to fill my days with things like just getting out a walk, going a hill walk. I did a lot of hiking in the beginning. And quite often or not, after a day of hiking, you were kind of over that. A day of hiking with a podcast in, you were over that feeling of, oh, I wish I was drinking tonight. And on the times where that wasn't the case, it was just get to bed early, just get to bed early and get another day passed. But yeah, I found that difficult in the beginning.
Yeah. So maybe as part of that contemplation stage, it was good to almost have an idea of some of the things. You're not looking to sort of like totally rewrite the rule book, are you? But having some things that you might be planning to do differently, that sort of might just create the right foundations for, getting it off the ground. So it might be, I don't know, you might be, you've got a good mate who's in exactly the same boat as you. And you might say to them, right, fancy giving this a go together. Let's buddy up. Let's do this together. Or it might be, I don't know, I'm going to book myself into some classes every Friday night to do X, because that's a trigger for me. So I'm going to think about what would I like to do instead as a sort of alternative. Again, we're getting into territory of sort of, what we're going to talk about another time when we do actually start to put a plan together. But start to think about some of the things that float your boat, that sort of, you think, actually, I've talked about doing this for a while. I'm going to do this instead, and just start, because then you get a bit excited about it. You're putting a bit of sort of meat on the bones, aren't you? And you're starting to see what it's going to look like.
There is, and there's a part as well that it's just do anything different from what you would usually do. So it might be, for me, I wasn't a big socializer. When I had a drink, I love to socialize, but I wasn't a big socializer. I like my own company. So for me, sometimes it was just right, going out a 4 mile walk and listen to a podcast. Just something simple. It doesn't need to be big plans and big goals. Just something simple. Go out a walk, listen to a podcast. 9 times out of 10, by the time you've been for that walk and come back, the desire or the kind of the want to have a drink has passed, and that's you done another day.
Yeah, spot on, spot on. Interesting what you're saying there about not being a big socializer. So I was chatting to somebody who's quite close to me last week, and they were talking about their sort of own, they were being very honest about their own sort of drinking, and they were saying that they're still drinking now, and they were saying now, and I'd have to get a whole new friend set. They said if I stopped drinking, I'd have to get a whole new friend set, and I get that because that was me. That was me. I was. I was a big social drinker, and it was all about, I'd spent years cultivating this group of mates who, funnily enough, all liked to drink. Why was that? Because I liked to surround myself with people who drank like I did, because then it looked like I didn't have a, didn't have a drink problem. I was just one of the lads. I was just normal. But, and then you've got this fear, haven't you, that actually I'm going against the grain here. I'm going to do something completely different, and I'm going to have to, all my friends are going to disown me. And it's like a, it was quite sobering as a joke to hear it, because I thought to myself, this is a fully grown guy, similar age to me, saying, had I passed up drinking, all my friends are going to disown me, and I'm not going to be able to do it because I'm going to be on my own. And like, you forget, I forget now, so 6 years down the line, that's how I felt. And but to think that now, grown adults are actually worried, and but it is also a potential reality. Let's be honest, a lot of the friends who I had at the time, they have gone by the wayside because they were fair weather friends, or they weren't sound people, because if sound people don't ditch people just because they're not a good drinking partner anymore. But it is a genuine fear, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and like you can build on that as well in terms of like some people that you lose in terms of friendships, family members as well, partners. It's not even necessarily that maybe there wasn't a good friendship there, because sometimes you kind of grieve and think, oh God, if I've been spending the past 10 years with this person and it wasn't real. The brutal truth is that alcohol's got a massive hold on a lot of people, even people that don't realise it's a problem. So even though they maybe love you and care for you and enjoyed spending time with you, alcohol's got a pull on them the way it did on you. So it's kind of it's having to make peace with the fact that yeah, it is awful that I'm going to maybe lose some friends, but get curious and see what's out there, and you can make new friends. And I know it's all right me saying that, because if you're when you're dealing with it in the beginning, I lost a load of friends. I remember all my friends were celebrating their 40th birthday, and I seen them all on Facebook out with a limo, and I wasn't even invited because I'd stopped drinking. And I had to make peace with that without being angry and just say, well, do you know, there'll be a reason for it, and it's not necessarily that we didn't have a good friendship then. It's just that it's moved on.
That's a really good point, actually, and it's something I've never really thought about in that context before. But yes, because I kind of there's a danger that you sort of make it all about you, don't you? I made it all about me. I've decided I'm going to stop drinking, and therefore I'm expecting everybody just to be able to act like, really good human beings, and do the right thing. Forgetting that everyone's got their own issues, everyone's got their own sort of, sort of temptations, addictions, call it what you want. And actually, it's not that straightforward, is it? And sometimes people go and then they come back. You know, they realize, actually, do you know what? After a while, they're watching you, and they realize, oh, do you know what? Good luck to him, and fair play. I'm going to give that a go, or I'm going to cut him a bit more slack because I can see how hard that is. So, but again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I think it's about accepting and being aware that, especially in the early days, you're going to have some times where you're going to have some difficult conversations, which brings me on to my next point, which is, what are you going to say to people? What are you going to do? I remember, like, and again, I'm going to ask you the same question, but like, I remember in the early days, I was almost like practicing in front of the mirror with a hairbrush. Ian, what are you going to do? What are you going to tell people? Well, I'm on antibiotics at the moment, or I'm just doing this challenge, and it's a 30-day challenge, and I'm almost talking out the side of my mouth, so I can sort of, just whatever, and I had different things I was going to say to different people, and I was like, worried about what people would say, and it was horrible. It was horrible. Just that sort of, anxiety that came from having to explain to people why I wasn't having a drink, and was I a weirdo? What were they going to think of me? Were they going to think I was strange? Were they going to disown me? Like I say, Were they going to interrogate me? Were they going to think I had a drink problem? And therefore, is that sort of, is that going to have an impact on, I don't know, my career or my sort of, a lot of my drinking was related to work as well, and like, I'm a big overthinker. Even now, I'm an overthinker. But yeah, do you remember those days, Kelly?
I mean, for me, it was kind of, I wasn't networking or anything like that, so I didn't have as many kind of opportunities where I was going to have to say why I wasn't drinking. It was more kind of immediate family and immediate friends. But I know any time that I said that I wasn't drinking before I just started to say, like, it's got problematic for me, I used to just say, I'm on a health kick. It just makes me feel rubbish. I can't stick to my exercise plans if I'm drinking. But I think the thing is as well, and you don't know this in the early days, so I'm kind of jumping on a little bit because I know we're kind of talking about back to basics, but we hear all the time that when people start to get like to start to own it, not tell you the real reasons why you stop drinking, but just own it as in, I'm not drinking just now because, and just giving your reason and standing by that reason instead of, oh, I'm just taking a break just now, because it kind of leaves it open then for people to be like, ah, just have a drink. You can start your break next week. Whereas if you've got a, I'm not having a drink because, boom, this reason. So I'm training for such and such. I'm on medication. I'm decided that I'm doing a challenge. Look, all these things I can't think off the top of my head. Can you think of any others? So like medication,
I'm on a
diet,
diet. I'm on a diet. I'm just trying to lose weight. I've set myself this 30-day challenge. But you're absolutely right. And I didn't do this in the early days. And I remember just like, I'd go there and I'd almost be like, it's almost like the thing is, if you don't give a good reason, you're almost not really sort of backing yourself. And there's a more of a danger that someone's going to say to you, "Why are you not drinking?" "Oh, I'm just not." "Oh, have a drink, have this one, just have the one, what do you, and yes, and then I then had to say, "No, I'm all right, thank you. No, it's okay, honestly, it's not." You've then got this sudden big battle of, between you and that person as to why you're not having a drink. Whereas if you, like you say, you just say, "No, I'm not drinking because of X," whatever X is, doesn't matter really. But "No, I'm not drinking. No, thank you." But yeah, that
Kind of,
was such
it
a
shuts
hard
down the
limit.
conversation there, I think. It definitely kind of shuts down. And if you can, tell people ahead of time as well, let people know so that you're maybe not having those uncomfortable conversations there and then. Because especially as well, if you're not telling people and you're just saying, I'm not drinking tonight, and if you know that you're taking a break for a month or 3 months, or you know that you need to out your life for good, if you're saying to people, I'm not having a drink tonight, you've kind of then got to be really honest with yourself and ask yourself, why am I just saying tonight? Is the door still open for me a little bit? Am I still wanting to drink? And why do I want to drink? You've really got to dig deep and question and get honest.
And we'll get into the ribs of this in another episode where we'll lay out a battle plan, if you know what I mean, for people, and we'll talk about this, and we'll get it cast iron, if you know what I mean. But I think, yes, at this stage, when you're at the contemplation stage and you might still be drinking, just start to think about, what am I going to say to people? And I know you're going to want it, own it, be ready, be have your story solid, so that you're sort of, you're not leaving yourself open. And the other thing to think about as well, and the other thing to be excited about, is some people would really get behind you. I looked at the negatives, and it was a case of, everyone's going to desert me, Kelly. Everyone's going to sort of like, no one's going to want to be my mate. I'm going to be Billy No Mates, and it's going to be horrible. And it wasn't like that at all. Some people, really stood up, if you know what I mean, and said, "Do you know what, Ian? I admire you for that. And I'm thinking the same myself." Or, "Do you know what, it is ridiculous, isn't it? Drinking's got too much of a hold on people." And suddenly you find some allies from nowhere, and they might still be drinking themselves, but they get you. We've talked in the past, remember the traffic light sort of system of people who you come across. Can you remember what they were? It's like a
So
test.
you've got the, oh God, don't test me. And so you've got
Red people just will never get it in a month of Sundays.
that.
There's some people who will just not understand at all. And then the green people are obviously people who you're telling them, "Oh yeah, or I don't drink," or it's like bonkers, isn't it? It's like, why do people care, what people whether people drink or not. And then you have the amber people in the middle who are kind of sort of probably sober cues themselves, probably know that they're there to sort of have the conversation, but they're a little bit more difficult. So I suppose the good thing about that traffic light thing is, it's again, it's come back to what you're saying, it's not always you, is it? It's not always you haven't got to convert these people, you haven't got to sell them your story. You've got to accept some people will get it, some people won't, and they'll have their own stories. So just be aware of that. Again, just be aware of it. The thing I would say as well is listen to some good podcasts. Do we know any good podcasts?
Can't think. Can't think.
I can't think of any
Maybe.
either. There's that one, isn't there? What are those two called? That Scottish lass and that really good looking guy, lad from the North East. What are they called again?
How come you get good looking and I got that Scottish lass?
Sorry, I
I
got
tell
that
you a
wrong.
good podcast to listen
That
to.
really good looking Scottish lass and that numpty from the North East. What are they called again?
Alcohol Uncensored.
That's
I tell you
really
another good
good podcast.
podcast to listen to though, definitely for contemplation stage, is Over the Influence. Now we'll always, I mean that's where this was grown from, but like without being what's the word? Can't get my words out today, biased. It is a fantastic podcast to listen to from kind of from the early days. It really does help. It helped us and helped so many other people as well. It's definitely is. I think listening to podcasts, Quitlet, exercise, reading, DIY, learning something new, meeting new people, just being kind of curious and open to new opportunities, I think. Or also just getting through the day for some people. Some people it's just in those early days it can be difficult, and sometimes it's just accepting that it can be difficult in the beginning, but it gets better just by making small changes.
Do you know, that's a good point. And actually, the way I was going with that was, I suppose it was all about, joking aside, it was all about listening to alcohol-free podcasts. But actually, you make a good point there. Listeners, get yourself out of your comfort zone in terms of some other things, like we said before, some of the things you actually want to get into, in terms of new hobbies. Start listening to, I don't know, woodworking or, learning the piano. Or there's podcasts there for everything, isn't there? And actually start to sort of explore some other things. And I think actually, if I stop drinking and I dedicate, if I get a bit more clarity and a bit more time and a bit more money, we'll come on to all of that in a minute, I could start doing this,
Good thing to do is to start looking at the things that you used to say or plan doing when you were drinking. So I used to come up with great plans when I was drinking and never follow them through because then I would be hungover or tired and no energy. So I think it's good to kind of look at those things and like just pick one thing and just take small steps towards it. What is it they say? Momentum comes from action, not motivation. So I think just writing down a few things that you would like to do and making a start on planning them, even if it's not doing them, just planning them, it just gets you kind of excited for what's there again. Sometimes it is just in the beginning, it's just getting through. It's just kind of clocking up those days, getting alcohol out your system. Do something small and different from what you would usually do when you were drinking, especially if you drank on a daily basis, just changing that routine up, mix it up. And another good tip that I really used was small wins. So I had a little book and I wrote small wins in it. Not wins like I ran a marathon. Like I always remember one small win. And I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast or not before, but it kind of goes along with the fact that I think it was Claire Pooley that said, when I was drinking, I wasn't living in line with my values. And that's where the anxiety came from me because I just wasn't living in line with my values when I was drinking. And I always remember this time going down to my mum's and I was painting her wall. And I love my mum to bits and I love doing things for her and I love being there for her just as she is with me. And I was painting this wall and she said to me, oh, just stop. The sun was shining. Just stop and have a drink. And at this point, I wasn't drinking. So it was an alcohol-free cider. And I was like, no, I'll just finish. Oh, you've done enough, Kayleigh. Just sit down and finish it. I sit down and finish it later. And I was like, no. So I finished painting the wall and I had my alcohol-free cider while I was doing it. If I had been drinking, the paintbrush would have been down. I'd been sitting up the back of the garden thinking, well, my mum said not to. I'd have got drunk. And then the next day, I would have had terrible anxiety thinking, I'm a bad daughter. I didn't paint that wall. And I would have given myself total grief for it. So I wrote that down as a small win. So sometimes the small wins are just showing up for your family and friends or showing up for yourself.
Good point. Good point. You mentioned Quitlet there. You mentioned Claire Pooley, and you mentioned her book. And again, you chances are maybe some people who are listening to this have already, you know, introduced themselves to Quitlet. But I think for me in those early days as well, I can't remember where I was in my journey when I started reading Quitlet, but I'm pretty sure I was reading it whilst I was still drinking.
Yeah.
And I think, again, it's all part of that contemplation stage, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of just, you're just trying some things out. And, you know, we've talked about this before. My personal favourite, and you can tell me yours in a minute, my personal favourite, which sticks in my mind, and we've had him on here. I've met my hero, is William Porter. William Porter's book, Alcohol Explained, did exactly what it said on the tin. And, you know, and it depends what type of person you are as to what sort of books you like. I do remember reading Claire Pooley's book. I remember reading Annie Grace's book, and you get a lot from them. But, you know, maybe I don't know, it was just, he just explained the science and the common sense behind why, when we know what we know about drinking, that we keep going back to it. You know, why is it a drug? Why does it keep us going back to it? How does it make us act? You know, how does it affect our sleep? How does it affect our mood? You know, all these sort of things. And he's just like, thank God. Yeah, I get this. And it was just, for me, it was a game changer. What was your game changer book?
So I must admit, I'm not a massive reader. I'm getting a bit better now, mostly audiobooks, but in the beginning I would start books and not finish them, which was probably to my detriment. But some of the books that I have read now are just another book. I found that a hard read, or harder read than William Porter. I thought his book was much more simple. Drink by David Nutt was also another good book. If you want to understand kind of the science of it and what it does to your brain and your body. And Bryony Gordon's Glorious Rock Bottom. That was a really good read. It was a difficult read because it was quite brutal and deep and honest, but it was a really good read. And we can't forget Sharon Hartley's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Quitting Alcohol, which actually, if you're listening to this now and you're sober curious, or you you're just at the beginning of your break from alcohol, it's a really, really good book. It gives you all the kind of tips and advice and tools that you need in the beginning. So that's a really good read. I would give that one a go. While we're on the subject of books, a question for you is, did reading William Porter's book, Annie Grace's book, affect your drinking? Because we hear it quite often, and it definitely resonates with me that once you start to learn what it does to the body and the mind, your drinking is never the same.
It did, and I always remember, again, we talked about OTI and their wonderful podcasts, and we talked about, you know, the community, which obviously we all came from, but I always remember Sharon Hartley. You know, we all have different things that stick in our mind from when we first decided to stop drinking, and mine was Sharon's tip that you've got to put your full ass into it. And, you know, you've got to go full ass. And I was just like, that is exactly what I need to hear. I need to hear that basically I need to study, not drinking like a topic. I need to learn it, and which is, you know, where we're talking about, you know, I need to listen to as many podcasts as I can get into my ears. I need to read as many Quitlet books as I can, you know, as I can read. And I need to just read around it. And I need to get to the point where, like you've just said, this is the game's up, if you know what I mean. And when you get to that stage and you start to absorb all this information about, you know, how to stop drinking and why you would want to stop drinking, the game's up anyway, isn't it, if you know what I mean? It's then just how long are you going to sort of prolong the agony before you actually sort of say, do you know what, enough's enough, game's up.
And did you, so you kind of, we talk about this quite often without kind of going away from what we're talking about, but you talk about this quite often, that when you joined the community, then you've stayed alcohol free since then. So did you put your full arse in and start reading the books and listening to podcasts?
Yeah. If there was a BTEC certification for, you know, learning the basics on how to stop drinking, I passed it with distinction, because I thought, right, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn about it. You think about the amount of time we spent, you know, in our own heads talking about, when am I next going to have a drink? How many drinks am I going to have? What am I going to have to drink? How many can I have before I start to make a monkey out of myself? You know, will I drink tomorrow? Will I drink then? Can I get through that without drinking? Yeah. You know, do I want to go to that? I don't want to go if I'm not drinking. whenever, oh, just God, you remember, Kelly, the sort of the constant sort of mind games, right? So if you take all that time and think, I'm going to use this positively and I'm going to start, getting on the front foot with this and kick its ass. I need to know all about it, And that's what I did. And that's why it sticks in my mind. And whenever, whenever we're on the Zooms now and we're talking to people who are at the early stages, that's what I always say. Got to put your full ass into it. Don't mess about.
And every journey is different, but this is a kind of prime example of what not to do and what to do. Because like I'm the ghost of Christmas past. I blew my life up with alcohol. You listened to Sharon Hartley and she said, put your full arse in, and you put your full arse in and you read the books. Sharon Hartley told me to put my full arse in, and I always remember it. I remember the place I was in a car at a local park, and I was going to run because that's what I did. Oh, I feel good. I've not drunk for a week. Go a run. And I always remember being on a Zoom in the car, community Zoom, and she's saying, just be careful because if you feel good too soon, you think you've got it all covered. You need to be really careful, really present, and put your full arse in. And I didn't. I read half a book and then I would feel good. And then I would listen to a podcast and then I would trip up again and then I would slip. So it's a prime example between me and you of actually, as much as every journey is different, if you do the work and you learn about the substance and you kind of read up on it and fill your brain with all that stuff, the difference between doing that and not doing that is.
Yeah,
Get
but
what I
then
mean?
again, you can't beat yourself for that because you weren't ready at that time, were you? Do you know what
Yeah,
I
no,
mean? So it's
listen,
like,
not at all. And like that, every journey is different, but it just hit me there like a train when you were saying, like, Shaz said, put your full arse in, and you went full arse in, and Shaz says, put your full arse in, and I went half arse in. One's been alcohol free for 6 years, and one hasn't. So it's the truth's there.
Yeah, but I think, that's probably why I'm here now, doing this 6 years down the line, because I went at it hard, if you know what I
Yeah,
mean. I got really into
absolutely.
it. It's almost like, drinking or not drinking doesn't define us, Kelly, as you well know. But
Absolutely
I
not.
think but I do also think with me personally, it's had such a positive effect on my life because I did go, full ass from day one that I'm so enthused by it. And I think you've got to get enthused by it. You've got to get on the front foot. You've got to be proud of what you're doing and you've got to sort of, chuck yourself at it. If you just let yourself get derailed too often,
And you've also got to, like you said there, don't be hard on yourself. You've also got to kind of be ready for the difficult times, and you can trip up and you can slip, but the biggest message is just don't give up. Just keep digging in and keep learning from that trigger, that trip, that slip. Just learn from it and keep going.
that's a really good point, and it's almost like a contradiction, isn't it? On one hand, we're saying, put your full ass into it, really focus and be determined to be strong, and then on the other, we're saying, do you know what? If you trip up and fail, it's not the end of the world. Pick yourself up and go again. But I think those two can live together, can't they? If you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because it isn't easy, and no one's saying as soon as you do all this, it's going to absolutely fly. We're not saying that because we're all human, So the two can live together, and that's a great way of talking about why a community is a good idea, Kelly. Because if you're in a community and you start out and it doesn't go according to plan, the great thing about our community is it's full of people who've done that, and that's where we all, sort of help each other, talk each other through it, get each other sort of dusted down and go again, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is, and it's all that, like when we go back to community for it, because it is so important. There's so many things that we've spoke about to do, like, but community is so important to have that support, not only just as a kind of to learn from other people, but like the just talking it out. Because sometimes you can believe your own bullshit, or I had a drink because, oh, I felt bad because someone else wanted me to have a drink. And then you've got to get really honest with yourself and say, well, nobody forced you to have that drink. What was the real reason? What were you feeling? What was the real reason behind having that drink? And that's the kind of conversations you can have within the community.
And the other thing to say, again, the other massive contradiction in all of this is actually a lot of people don't give a shit. Once, they're not as interested or as obsessed with your drinking or not drinking as you think they might be. I used to sort of worry about all these sort of, conversations and discussions I was going to have with people, how I was going to have to explain myself. And then more often than not, I'd say to them, I'm drinking, they go, all right, okay, there you go. There's your Diet Coke. There's your alcohol-free beer. There's whatever you want. How are you getting on? And totally change the subject. You think, oh, I got myself all bent out of shape about this. And this is just like not how I thought it was going to be. A lot of people don't really care. And even those that make a big song and dance of it, after a bit, they don't care either. Once they've had a few drinks and they're all right, they've forgotten about you. So it ain't as big a deal as you think it is. That's the other contradiction.
And that's been proven, hasn't it? How many people have we spoke to that have said, I just didn't let on that I wasn't drinking and I just pretended that I was drinking. And nobody knew, nobody was interested. By the end of the night, people weren't like, oh, wait a minute, you're sober and I'm drunk. Nobody knows. It's like it's forgot about after the first round.
Or I'm leaving after, I'm leaving at 10 o'clock and they're all out till 2, 3 in the morning. Oh, we had a great night, didn't we? He was brilliant, wasn't he? Do you remember when X, Y, Z? They don't even know you've gone
Don't
half the
even know
time,
you're away.
So
Exactly.
we worry far too much, I think is another one of the things. We've covered loads there, Kelly.
We
And I
have.
think, we've obviously stepped from the important thing I think to say to people today is this is all geared up to talk to people about when they're thinking about not drinking, but we've stepped into those early days of what happens when you have stopped drinking, and we'll cover this in future episodes. We'll get really into the meat of that. But do you think there's anything else that we need to be sort of saying to people who are just at the stage at the moment where they're thinking about dipping the toe in the water? What would you say to them?
What I would say as well is that, and this isn't about selling the community at all. This is about, I mean, you can come along and try a Zoom and have a look at what the forum's like and stuff. It's not that at all. But I think if you, when our community is open to anyone that wants to stop drinking, not someone that's a month alcohol free or a year alcohol free, it's someone that wants to. Now, our Zoom's absolutely, it's an alcohol free Zoom. You cannot come on a Zoom under the influence at all. But what I would say is start to be curious about what's out there in terms of the kind of support that's there to help you make those changes, because it can be difficult in the beginning. And I think if you just sit there and think, I don't want to be doing this anymore, you do need to take steps to try and change that. And one step might be join the community and start to hear from people that have been changing their life. Some it's been easy, some it's been hard, but you'll get tips and support within that. And I hope that doesn't come across as we're trying to push the community, because it's not that at all. It's just that sometimes you don't know what support's out there, and it's difficult to do it on your own. It's really difficult to do it on your own.
I've often wondered. I met a guy who I knew through work. I mentioned this before. He heard my podcast interview on OTI a few years ago and reached out to me and said, well, is that you who was on that podcast? I was like, yeah, it was. And we got sort of chatting face to face, as a result of that. And we had a really good chat, but he'd never been part of a community, but he'd always listened to, clearly he'd always listened to podcasts because he'd come across the one that I'd been on. But I do wonder sometimes how many people decide to stop drinking, don't join a community, successfully stop drinking and stay stopped. I would love to know, and I'm not saying, it's possible or not possible. I genuinely don't know the answer. All I do know is for me, it was invaluable to have people who were in the same boat as me, who I could have confidential, common sense conversations with and be part of a community of people who were all pushing in the same direction. I can't imagine doing it in any other way. And once I was over that uncomfortableness of being honest in front of a bunch of strangers and sort of just getting out of my comfort zone of that. Once I got over it, I was like, this is it. I'm so glad I found this community. So
I
I
think
can
it
only speak
depends
my
on
own experience.
I think it depends on your personality, but also your environment and your family and friendship group, because a big factor in people drinking alcohol long after they've decided that they're absolutely fed up with it is boredom and loneliness. And if you don't kind of address that boredom and loneliness by replacing it with something else, like if you've got people around you that don't get why you're taking a break from alcohol, because they're like, you've not got a problem. Because a lot of people, it doesn't look like they've got a problem, but it's a problem for them. And I think by joining a community, you then get to meet people and talk to people that get it. Whereas you've got some people that can stop without a community, maybe because they've got people around them that get it or don't question them on it. So that's probably a bit of a factor as well. But you said there as well about, like, once you kind of admitted it and got in the community and realised that everybody in there was stopping drinking and on the same path as you as well, that you were kind of comfortable with it. And I remember in the start as well, I was like, oh, I've got to join a community. Like, this is what I've got
to
do.
How weird is this?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And I hated it, but I just knew I needed to do something because I'd tried so many different things and it changed my life just the same way as it's changed yours. So it would be interesting to find out how many people do it without a community. And I hope there's a lot. I hope there's a lot that can do it without a community as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, when you were talking there, it just reminded me of a saying that stuck with me as well. Alcohol likes to get you alone, if you know what I mean. And it makes you sort of isolate you, doesn't it? And, I think more and more, you see a lot of people who, when the drinking progresses, it becomes a solo activity, if you know what I mean. And suddenly you're in this, that's sometimes when you actually need a community even more, because you need someone to sort of pull you out of that hole, if you know what I mean. Or it gets you, when it gets you alone, it really can start to do some damage, can't it? So, yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot there.
What is it they say? They say connection's the opposite of addiction, something like that.
Yes, I think that is right.
Yeah. Phrase, isn't there? And as much as addiction is a strong word, it's true. It's connection's the missing link in a lot of cases, I think, it's just having people in your life that get it.
Yeah, yeah. And again, just whilst you were thinking then, I know you this is a big beef of yours as well, but I was talking to my wife was telling me about someone she knows who's got themselves in a real pickle with drinking because of the availability of, online deliveries, drinking. And we touched on this with another episode with a few weeks ago, didn't we? But I think, and I'm going off topic here, but I'm just mentioning it because it's on my mind, but I think this is something we're going to see a lot more of as time goes on, aren't we? The prevalence of people who are just solo drinking on their own because of how easy it is. Yes. There's no barriers anymore, is there?
And as it's, alcohol is a depressant. Like it's scientifically proven that it's a depressant. So if you're sitting there drinking alcohol on your own and get it any time of day easily, then it's such a lonely place to be. And society and the government's got a big change to make. We're going off on a tangent. It's an important tangent.
Exactly. It's good to mention it whilst it's on our minds. So I think we should leave it there, Kelly. I've no idea where we've got on time, but that's a cracking topic.
We could talk all night.
I was going to say this before we wrap it up as well, and this is going to sound weird. It's probably going to spoil the whole episode, so you might want to cut it off. But I was listening to one of the early OTI podcasts this morning, just to sort of, because it's that that got us thinking about this, wasn't it? And just, and I listened to it and I thought, I remember listening to this back in the day. And I almost thought back fondly to those sort of times. And I'm going to have to caveat this when I've said it, but I actually look back fondly on my first year of not drinking, because that first year I made so much progress and I was so proud of myself. By the time I go, when I first did the first month, I was proud of myself. When I did that first 90 days or 100 days, I was so proud of myself. And when I did my first year, I was absolutely cock-a-hoop. It gets better and better and better. It does get better and better, but you can never sort of have that first year again, if you know what I mean. And it was like, made so many changes in that first year. So that's a long way of saying, if you are at the contemplation stage, a year's not a long time, and you will make so much progress. And yes, it'll be hard, but you'll be so proud of yourself when you've done it as well. So let's leave it there, Kelly, I reckon.
Let's leave it there, Ian. Thank you.
All right. Guys, we've really enjoyed this. We hope you've enjoyed listening to it, and we will see you next time. See you later.
See you later.